Golf Smarter number 408, published on October 29, 2013, is brought to you by the brand new Golf Smarter app for Apple and Android, available for free at the newly improved golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
Take ownership of your swing. Now repeat it with Tony Manzoni.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to Golf Smarter, Tony.
Thank you, Fred. It's great to be back.
It has been way too long, and since, you know, it feels to me like recent history, but it's really not anymore. But we just surpassed 400 episodes on Golf Smarter. And I've been looking for those instructors who've been on the show numerous times over the last 8 years and said, who can I bring back to help celebrate 400 episodes? You know, having the 400th episode was kind of like a hole-in-one. Or maybe even like when the Red Sox won the World Series the first time. It's like you're just anticipating it so much, and then it happens, you can go, that's it?
Yeah, that's it. You want a duck to drop down or something.
And guess the secret, why didn't the duck? Yeah, right, exactly. But it's amazing to me the response that we've always had when you come on the show, because people just love the Lost Fundamental.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I get kind of the same results. The great thing that happens is when I give a golf lesson to someone, and then I get a note maybe a month or two later saying, I'm playing so much better, blah, 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 or someone buys my book and calls me or sends me a note saying how much they enjoy it. Now, you know, that's every professional's dream, that you made some sense and you helped them. And that's what we're all trying to do, is we're trying to take somebody and improve their game. I think the majority of guys like me are really in it for the passion of watching someone grow in the game and get a little better, and maybe even want to play the game more than the money that we make.
Well, it's I mean, it's kind of like where we come from in the podcast world. It's all about engagement. Right. Engaging.
Absolutely.
Engaging with your people, whether your customers, your clients, your patients, your listeners, whatever it is, it's engaging with them and getting that feedback. It's incredible. But
it
you've
really
earned
is.
It.
Well, I like to think so. I put a lot of years studying the game, and I've made a lot of drastic changes in the way I present the information. And
wow.
Hopefully it's getting better and more succinct. It's typical to talk too much when you're giving a golf lesson, but then you can't talk too little, so you can't have any dead spots, just like on the air when you're broadcasting. And as I teach to my golf management students how to teach this game, it's really important that you create an atmosphere of learning and allow the person to be relaxed and not worry too much about hitting a bad shot in front of you.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people walk away from lessons overloaded with information. It feels like on a lesson, especially most people go in for one or two lessons and they're like, I'm going on vacation, fix my swing, right? And so there's this information dump that comes from an instructor, especially that wants to change everything that you do. And you're saying, I just want to hit my irons better. And they're like, well, you've got to change your swing.
Yeah, if anyone's been playing for any length of time, what you really want to do is take what they have, maybe set them up a little bit better to the ball, but make sure that you can get them to repeat their action. Because in the final analysis, you've got to own your own swing. No matter what the concept you're trying to do, you've got to be able to repeat that. I mean, you know, when you look at Trevino or the guys that aimed quite a bit left and blocked it right, or Furyk that has that very loopy swing, but they repeat it, and that's the key. And that's definitely the key. Now, I think by not shifting a lot of weight to the right and then having to shift it all the way back, that eliminates that big timing element that most people can't do, especially after you get past 40, it becomes almost impossible.
Right.
So those kind of things you need to know. You need to know where your body is relative to the ball. But if you hoist it or you take it a little flat, I really don't think that means much, as long as you do it every time.
And I can't tell you how much impact – that little piece that you just tossed away had on me, not just when I came down and played with you and had a friend of mine take a lesson from you as we videotaped it. And the Golf Smarter TV video that we put on called Ben Hogan's Secret Revealed, that is just short one, it's received more views of any video that we've ever done here. It's so incredible that it's not about, oh, I'm talking about the hip sway and the slide to the right. Once I started keeping my lower body quiet, I was making much better contact. And my backaches at the end of a round were gone.
Sure, because you're not ending up in a reverse C. You're ending up what we call posted up in the swing.
Right.
And, you know, it's really nothing new. I mean, the old timers just say stay in the barrel. Well, there's a lot to that. There really is a lot to say staying centered to the ball. And if you look at film of Snead or Hogan or Palmer or Nicklaus or the guys that had long careers, they didn't move off the golf ball. They stayed on the ball. And they didn't purposely try to stay on it. It was the way they moved that kept them on the ball. And that's the key. You can't tell somebody, don't move your head in the swing. That's counterintuitive. What you want to say is, okay, if that right side goes behind you, then the head can't move right. If you're turning from the left side, you're gonna push back a little bit away from the ball. And then you have to get back to that starting position and get a little open and hit the ball. That's a lot to do in that millisecond the downswing takes. So Hogan was just, he figured this out, and I know he took it to his grave, but there is film that you could look at, and if you're a crazy person like me that will sit in front of a video and watch it over and over and over and slow it down and keep looking at it, you'll start seeing little nuances of the things that man did, and he for sure played off the left side.
Well, if you're a crazy person, then we're all crazy. I think because I think
well, you gotta really want to learn, you know.
Right.
As I tell my students, there's never a day that I don't learn something about the golf swing. Some little thing. I'll be teaching someone and I'll say something and I'll think to myself, I got to keep that as a mental note. And as soon as I'm done with this lesson, I got to grab a ball and a club and try that. Because it's like jazz singers, you know, you're improvising constantly. You're not hitting that same note. You're on the melody, but you're hitting a bunch of different notes. Teaching is kind of that way because that light bulb goes on with a phrase, but that phrase can be totally different for each and every person, even though you mean the same thing. I've had people take lessons from me for four or five lessons, and I am repeating the same thing over and over again, and they'll say, oh, you've never told me that before. And I said to them, well, I guess I'm going to have to tell it to you in another language because we've been speaking English most of the time and have been saying it over and over. But people hear at times and don't. And as a teacher, you have to really be cognizant of that you have to be really clear, and you have to even ask them the question, do you understand what I mean? And not only do you understand what I mean, I want you to show me what I'm trying to get you to do. When you can get on that kind of a basis with someone, then they're learning and you're teaching.
Awesome. Well, I want to do a quick recap for people who are just being introduced to you the first time, because, you know, there are always new people discovering Golf Smarter, and I greatly appreciate that. And you have been on so many times. We've been face-to-face. We've been on the phone. But give me a brief history of when you started playing golf and what your golf career was and where you are today.
Well, I started as a caddy like most people from my era. I was about 11 years old. Went through the caddy ranks, borrowed clubs from the pro that he discarded, got a mixed bag of clubs, started playing the game. I was a pretty good baseball player, so I had good eye-hand coordination. So I immediately hit the ball pretty far from my size, and that carried on through my golf life until now. I'm a little older, so getting along the tooth, I don't hit it as far, so I work on my short game. But during that period of time, I came up with what I saw and what I heard is how to deliver the golf club to the ball. and not knowing that the majority of what I saw and what I heard were cliches that had been passed on through the years and not really based on any real true fact. It was really more theory or what someone felt they were doing. And we know that a lot of touring pros will write a book and they'll say, this is what I do. But then when you watch them in film, they're not doing that. It's just that's the sensation they have. So you have to be careful about words. Are they actually the motor that drives the swing? And as I continued my education, you know, I was a very handsy arm swing player, free arm swing. I bought into that. And I played pretty good, but under pressure, I always hooked the golf ball. I always hooked it and got myself in trouble. And through the years, you know, I was good enough to play by qualifying to play the tour. And we didn't have the regular qualifying systems that they have today. You just went on Monday and they call us rabbits, and you try to qualify. And I did on a number of occasions, and I got to play. But I always hit that wall. I was quick out of the gate, 2-3 under real quick, and then whip one out of bounds and then block the next one right because I'm trying not to hook the next one and so forth. So I fought that, and I realized that I didn't have, and not rightly so, because I felt like, well, I just don't have the talent for this. But the truth was I didn't have the information. And unfortunately for me, I got the information too late to do anything about it. So I decided, you know, I'm going to give this information to people that have the dream of being a player, that have the dream of playing, or somebody that just wants to play better and not have to practice so much. So as I evolved as a teacher, one lucky day, a gentleman came in my office and said, I've got a letter, a copy of a letter written by Ben Hogan about the golf swing, and also video that really wasn't authorized. It was kind of home video, and, you know, Hogan didn't like his swing videoed. After I read the letter, it said something in there that was red flagged to me. It says, when I'm at the top of the swing, I'm on the instep of my left foot. And I thought, well, doesn't he mean right foot? And then I watched the video, and it was exactly that. And I went out and I started hitting balls that way, because in my mind I was thinking, well, am I going to reverse my weight shift? But I didn't. I got more on the ball at address, and I moved through the ball during the impact. And all of a sudden, my iron play got real crisp. I quit hitting it thin and fat, and I started using some students of mine as guinea pigs, trying to set them up more left-sided. And so that they, because, you know, no matter how you take the club back, you've got to be on the left side when you're hitting the golf ball. So I got them a little bit more on the left side, like, say, 60-40. And I did that, and this thing started evolving, and I thought, holy mackerel, I got lightning in a jar. And a bunch of my students said, you've got to write a book. You've got to get this information out. And in the process of writing the book, Stack and Tilt came out, which is, it's similar in setup, but not in action, because they really finish in kind of a reverse C, and I don't believe in that. I think that creates a lot of strain on the body, and I think that's actually an unnatural way to finish. I think posted up is better. And my elderly players who never get off the right side found that they could get to the left side for the first time in many, many years, and that's the proof of the pudding for me.
Amazing. And then you went on and started coaching on the college level after, you know, how did that all come about?
Yeah, as I told you, I got involved with Callaway Golf. It wasn't Callaway Golf when I was involved with it. It was called Hickory Stick. Hmm. And I made the cold call to Ely Callaway to get him involved with Hickory Stick Golf Club Company. And the first call, he came down, looked at it, walked away and said, I wish you good luck. And then about 2 weeks later, because we couldn't make payroll, I called him again. And he said, it's funny that you called. I've been thinking about being involved with you. And he bought the partners out and then made myself, Richard Parenti, and Ely Callaway. We were all 33 and a third partners in a new company called Callaway Hickory Stick. And then it became Callaway Golf. And, of course, the story is a beautiful story because it's a billion-dollar company. And I think I made one of the great cold calls in golf. For sure. And then from that point, after I left Callaway, cashed out my stock and so forth. I wanted to, you know, do something in golf, give back. College of the Desert had a piece of property that I raised the money to build a the golf facility on a driving range, classrooms, and a little museum. And it's continued to evolve. I got lucky and got the golf team. And this is our 27th year in a row we won the conference championship. That's got to be a record somewhere.
27 years in a row you've won the conference championship?
27 years in a row. And,
amazing.
And we're going to try to win it this year, the 28th. We won the state championship a number of times under my tutelage.
Wow.
And we won what we call the Southern California Regional Championship a number of times. And I've been blessed. We're in a wonderful area. We're one of the few campuses that has a driving range and a golf academy on campus, so that helps. I'd like to think that a percentage of the success came from me, from my teaching. But it's been a win-win for me. And as I tell everyone, this is the best thing I ever did in golf. And I mean, I qualified for the Senior Masters, and the day I qualified, I think I probably called everyone I ever met to tell them that I qualified. And I've had some moments in golf, but nothing has fulfilled me like working with young people and teaching them golf and teaching them how they're supposed to act when they win and lose, teaching them, character. And some of the things that I've seen from the greats, how they acted. Arnold Palmer is a perfect example of a guy that conducts himself so well. Everyone loves Arnie. You can't help but love him. He's just a great man. And I try to pass those things on to them, especially in today's world where you got kids with their pants down, you see their underwear, all that stuff like that. And I try to explain to them why that's deterrent. I understand when I was a kid, my folks hated the music I listened to, and I think that's with every generation. But I try to tell them, how you have to prioritize and how you have to have a goal now, and you have to start working towards that goal. And these other things like music and style, those are okay, but that can't be unless you're a hip hop artist or you're a music artist or something. You can't go around looking like that, because everyone's judged at first glance, So I found my niche. I really like mentoring, and I love coaching, and I love to watch some of these kids hit that ball farther than I ever dreamed.
Wow. All right. And you've revealed a couple things here, but I hope you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 77 as of July 21st.
Because when you said, from my era, no one says that unless you're from that era.
Yeah, well, there was big animals walking the land.
Oh, well, that's because you're in the Palm Springs area and just everyone's overweight. Yeah.
Well, I'm very lucky. I want to say knock on wood, but it's hard to find wood nowadays. But knock on plastic. I am in really good shape, and I work at it. I have to work at it.
Sure.
And being around young people helps me work at it, because typically they're all pretty fit these days. And so we talk about nutrition and doing all the right things. And, I love to hear Gary Player talk about put cumin on everything you eat. He's a marvel, that guy. And more people that would copy him instead of some of these other artists, they'd be better off for it.
And at 77 years old, I'm sure, like this is going to enhance credibility for you like crazy. What are you shooting these days?
I still shoot par. I still can.
And how far do you drive the ball?
About 265. When I pop it, I can get it out for about 280.
I don't know. Yeah, but everybody hits really well downhill. What, I mean, when you're on a normal drive, is that really what you're doing on a normal day?
My normal drive is it's over 250. I'm in that 260 range. Like I say, every now and then I cook one, and you get a turnover a little bit, and it'll get out there. I can get out there pretty good still. I can still reach par fives and stuff. I used to hit it well over 300 yards when I was just a skinny kid. But it was very flippy wristed, and that was with a persimmon wood.
Mm-hmm.
But I can still move it a little bit. My golf team, everybody hits it 300 yards. They got arms 3 inches around and they hit it 300 yards. It's just crazy.
Mm. Wow. Incredible. So what kind of new things have you discovered with your recent crop of young studs over at College of the Desert?
Well, what I'm finding, they're not so reluctant to listen they're more curious about the golf swing. And part of it is because they see the record we've compiled. And I'm not going to say that every player that plays for me plays off the left side, but a lot of them have changed to it. And when I explain it to them, they realize that mathematically it makes sense. It's not theory. It's just that, look, if we got to get to the left side when we hit the golf ball, the farther we get to the right, the harder it is to get to the left. There's a whole bunch of things happening on that downswing that you've got to time, and we want to eliminate timing as much as we can in the golf swing. And so if we can rotate on a axis instead of two but one, okay, and if we can trap the club against our body via the connection of our arms to our body, then as we rotate, the club face stays square through impact. And it's easy to do physically. So, you know, for the older generation out there that say, yeah, but you got to be young to do that. No, it's the opposite. The older you are, you're going to find it much more efficient. And the key here is that you can square the club to the ball easier. So you get a lot of square hits. You know, I've got clients, believe me, late in their 80s that tell me they're hitting the ball farther now than they did 15, 20 years ago, because for the first time in their life, they're hitting the sweet spot. When you're throwing that club from the top and trying to roll your hands over, good luck, Charlie, because you may hit one a year, or if you're practicing out 8 hours a day, then maybe you can do that. But who practices over a half hour a day, you know? So it's a godsend. I was very lucky that someone walked in my office and gave me a letter and a video, because it changed the way I teach. And consequently, it's helped everyone I work with, whether they're, I've got a girl that I worked with 2 years, player of the year last year. Her name is June Jang. She's on my video, and she's winning everything. And she's now going on to the regionals of the state. And I mean, you watch her hit a ball, you just go crazy. I mean, she's a 15-year-old girl that can hit a 260, 270.
Wow.
And that's not an exaggeration, because when we play, she keeps it up with me. When she busts one, she knocks it right by me, and I tell her, don't do that anymore. But it's wonderful. And I just took on a 7-year-old Korean boy that I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna take a film of him hitting a golf ball, and I'm going to send it to you, and it's going to shock you.
Seven or 17?
7 years old.
Seven years old.
7 years old and clocks it. I mean, he hits it out there where you say, that's not possible. And he putts like a madman. And I can't take a lot of credit for this. His dad came to me, and I used to watch this little boy on the driving range, and it was like watching a little Ben Hogan. And his dad came to me and said, would you give my boy lessons? And I said, well, yeah, but you know, you've done a really good job. He says he won't listen to me anymore, which I just cracked up. So I took him out. Of course, I don't charge kids. I get such a reward by teaching them and watching them. And the first thing I found is when I talked to him, he was real shy. All I could see was the top of his head. So I said, you know, you have to look at me when I talk to you. So at the end of the lesson, I said to him, okay, Ivan, what have you learned today? He says, well, you told me I have to set up a little better at the ball. I've got to take it back a little bit more, bigger shoulder turn, and I have to look at you when you talk to me. And, you know, I just thought, oh, man, you know, that's really cool that he was listening.
Wow. And can you share his name?
Yeah, I don't even know the last name. His name is Ivan, and he's a little Chinese boy.
Okay.
And the next time I talk to you, I'll tell you. The girl, Jiun Jang, she's Korean, and she's going to be, you will see her on the tour, and not only will she make the tour, she will win on the tour. She's that good.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, well, please, send me video. I want to see this, and we'll definitely put it up on the website and let people see it if we have permission.
Oh, yeah, you've got to see this book. I got to just give you a quick little story. After a lesson this last Tuesday, I brought him over back to the – we were on the turf way back, and I brought him back to the front of the range where a lot of my golf team were. I said, okay, guys, I'm going to show you how you're supposed to hit a tee ball. He teed that ball up, and he hit it. I don't know how far he hit it, but it was crazy far for a kid that – and he's a small seven, but he's got this lag right at the bottom that God gave him, okay? Mm. And he busted it. And I said, I just want to show you that wasn't luck. I teed another one up. He hit it just a little farther. I mean, he's got he just can't wait to show off. So it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, he's seven. Of course,
seven years old.
He wants to show people what he can do. Well, it's so interesting because I've had many conversations with people and have asked this question of many instructors, and about getting young people started. Because people go, "Hi, how much should my 10-year-old practice, or how do I get my kid interested in golf?" And I always talk about just start at the putting green, the practice putting green. It's free. It's easy to figure out. It's a way to compete with the kid that lets them do it, because hitting a golf ball is so difficult for anybody. And it's so easy to get discouraged by hitting a golf ball. But if you can fall in love with putting as a little kid and it just becomes a second nature to you, then everything else opens up for you.
That's right. And then when you search for an instructor, find someone that really, really enjoys teaching young people. They have a passion for it, because they'll be patient and they won't overload them, and it won't be don't do that and don't do this. It'll be taught positively. Most PGA professionals have some idea about this, but there's a lot of people that are not PGA professionals that are wonderful teachers. You've got to be real careful with that first one. The reason I say this with June, her parents came to me and said, "Would you teach our daughter?" And by the way, she hates golf. And I said, "Why does she hate golf?" She said, "Well, she had a lesson and she just couldn't do it. She couldn't hold a club. She just couldn't do it." So I sat her down and I said, "I understand you really don't like golf." She said, "No, it's too hard." Uh-huh. I said, "Well, how about if I give you a lesson and then you make a determination if you want to continue?" And she said, "Okay." And we hit it off, and I knew what to do with her, because I've done this enough to know what to do. And now if you ask her the question, "What do you think about golf?" She says, "I love golf." Mm. And so it's that initial moment when someone is helping them that they understand that this is such a great game and you can really do this. And you have to instill those feelings, and it can't be penal. Especially in the store, it should never be penal, number one. But you can't make them worry about performance initially. It's like a dance. I'm teaching you a dance, and we all look a little funny when we dance. And I always do a little dance, and they laugh, and we break the ice. So I really caution people. First of all, this is one of the greatest games a young person can learn for business, for pleasure, for a social. You meet quality people. So get your kids on the golf course, get them playing this great game, but make sure that, like going to a doctor, pick out someone that knows what they're doing. Don't be looking for a bargain basement deal. If you're in Palm Desert, hey, the deal's real good because it doesn't cost you anything.
Go to Tony.
That doesn't mean 1,000 kids are coming. But no, I have a rule. I always have had that rule. I won't charge up until about 16 years old. And
really?
After 16, I'll charge.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't. I just can't do it.
Well, that's very generous of you.
Well, it's my time. I can do what I want with it, really. That's how I feel about it. And I promise you, I get as much out of it as they do. As I tell my students, when you're generous, you get a lot more than the person you're giving to. And I can tell you that should be written in stone. And I really believe that. And when Ivan shows up, or June, or whoever I'm teaching, and I can't wait, I'm chomping at the bit. And that's how you should be. I'm not special. That's the way you're supposed to be.
Well, if anybody ever is considering taking a lesson from Tony, or wanted to take him up on this offer about you're under 16 years old, do me the favor. If you're going to book time for your child, book an hour for yourself, too. I mean, give the guy something. I mean, throw him a bone. You can both go out and get a lesson. He's not going to charge you for your kid, but let him, anyway. But you should know is that Tony has a book and an accompanying DVD, that the only place you can find these are on Tony's website and at golfsmarter.com. It really is. Is that still true?
Yes, that's
okay.
Correct.
So the book is called The Lost Fundamental, One Simple Move, Better Golf Forever. And then there's a complimentary DVD called The Lost Fundamental. You can buy as a combo or you can buy individually, whatever you'd like. But please go to golfsmarter.com or go to the Golf Smarter app. You can purchase it right off of the app, the free app that we now have for both Apple and Android. And you can buy it from there. And Tony will send it to you directly. Your order comes to me, but I send it to Tony, and he sends it out. I don't fulfill it. But you should really consider, it's not a thick book. It's an effective book. And it's same with the DVD. And check out on our, when you're in the app, go into the videos and find Ben Hogan's Secret Revealed. Find the video that Tony and I did together. Tony, I have, based on the things that we've already discussed, I have so many more questions that I want to get into details on swing mechanics, which I don't do a lot, but I trust you. There's some questions that I have and some things that you said, you know, like when you talked about when you were under pressure, you hooked the ball. That, to me, is absolutely fascinating. So can we spend some more time doing a members-only episode?
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right, so we're going to record that right next, but it's going to be the following episode, and it's for members only. So if you want to hear this episode and go back and hear all the episodes that Tony and I have done together, among the other instructors like Jim Waldron and Fred Shoemaker, all back in our archives of over 400 episodes, please, please, this is a listener-supported podcast. Join Golf Smarter for members only. I really appreciate it. And Tony, we're going to do this again for at least another 30 minutes. Starting in just a moment. All right. Thank you very much. I really enjoy talking to you, and I'm so glad you're back on the show.
Same here, Fred.
Pick up your copy of either the book or the DVD or the combo pack. Get both. It's called The Lost Fundamental, One Simple Move, Better Golf Forever by Tony Manzoni. It's available in the Golfer's Mart on the brand new Golf Smarter app or at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.